The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Rolling.
The movie will begin in 5 moments, the mindless voice announced. All those unseated will await the next show. The program for this evening is not new. You have seen this entertainment through and through. You've seen your birth, your life, and death. You might recall all of the rest. Did you have a good world when you died? Enough to base a movie on? Is everybody in? Everybody in? Everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Brainwashing.
Cult, yes, the power that is.
Nail it down, strap it down, or they'll grab it. If they can't take it home, they'll burn it. If they can't burn it, they'll fuck it.
I am the fucking man. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I judge.
A lot of people have been concerned about the direction of the cult organization. The group of individuals who call themselves Kennedy's Uber Elite Terrorists. So I'd like to take this opportunity to dispel any perhaps misconceived notions that the many may have about cult. Cult is not about violence. Cult believes in tolerance of other people, even though they may be pinheads. At no time would any cult member ever do anything that could be considered to be violent. We are a peaceful people. We have no time for abuse. We have no time for people who would hurt another. In our heart of hearts, we are truly not militant, but we would like to be recognized as peaceful and loving people. The kind of people you want next door. The kind of people that are in your neighborhood. Your children are in cult. You should love us. We're the people who will inevitably be the future. We will eventually take over and bring the world to a kinder, gentler, happier place. This is the dream of cult, and this is where cult will go. You cannot stop cult. Cult is like love. It spreads like a neurotic virus. We're everywhere. We're in your homes. We're in your schools. We're at your place of work. We guard you while you sleep. We are the good friend. We are the ones who will look after you when you get old. We're the ones who will keep you safe. Think of us as your friends. Think of us as cult. Think of us. And know that we're always watching you.
Well, here it is. It's time once again for the much-anticipated, always-awaited brainwashing issue number 5. This issue, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of good things that are going on in the cult. Things have been happening, and very stylish, all things considered. Very happy about the progress cult has been making. Big news! Last week or so, we had a feature on Geek News. Where yours truly got mentioned by name. How fucking scary is that? They mentioned me in the same kind of a page where they put guys like Linus Torvalds, Emmanuel Goldstein, all that good stuff. I mean, it'd be pretty embarrassing if these people actually realized how little I really know about computers. But that's okay. We'll just not tell anybody. Shh, don't tell anyone. It'll all be fine. So, what else has been going on this week? Well, Love That Nickster's been a crazy motherfucker, as per usual. The guy who just cannot stop doing graphics to save his life has just decided to put up his own fucking page. Like, can you believe that? I haven't got the link. I'm not going to bother saying the link because he hasn't actually got a domain yet. But one thing I would like to try to do is I would like to try to eventually set it up so that he has the domain prophets.thecult.org. That way, he can have his own sort of, he set up his own unit, and everybody can get to the prophet site doing specifically prophet stories. His story has been great. Check his content out on the site. Go to the cult page, do a search on prophets. You'll find the link to his prophets page. We want to get a permanent link set up, but this is growing so fucking fast, we don't have time hardly to put anything up. It's been nuts and totally wacky. What else has been going on? Well, there's been a lot of stuff been happening during the week. Smokehouse on this issue sent it in 2 weeks ago, and I'm really behind, so, you know, stop picking on me. But that's okay. What he did is he sent in a whole long feature he taped off of MTV on the Napster issue, which, you know, is just kind of big right now. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody wants to go, what's going on with Napster? What's the deal with Napster? Well, we got a whole interview of that that I'm going to insert into here. I may chop up some of the Lars Ulrich and Charlie, as Lars likes to call him, Chuck D interview, which was actually really good near the end of it. I'm not going to put the whole thing on because it's just the same sort of bullshit rhetoric that you've always heard from me. What is Napster? What's it doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you being such an asshole about it? You know, that kind of stuff. So we're not going to put the whole interview in there, but it's definitely worth a listen. Chuck D has got the right idea. He understands that basically technology is progressing forwards, and he even says that there are these savage little nerds out there that will just keep on progressing technology, and you cannot stop them. So when Chuck D knows it's not a good idea to fuck with cult, maybe it's not a good idea to fuck with cult. I don't know. Call it me. So that is something else we can be looking at. But let's talk about general news. During the week, our membership is slowly growing. Also, we got a domain name purchased. Yeah, baby. Thecult.org, if you weren't paying attention earlier. Now, if anyone wants to get information based on how to join Cult, you just email join@thecult.org, and I've set up an automated response, so it fires them all the big questionnaire and the introductory paragraph, lets people know what Cult's about. I'm also putting the tail end finishes on a frequently asked questions document that is going to be posted to the page so the people who review the page can understand what all the symbols mean, yada, 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 things of that nature. So that's been going strong. Very pleased about that. Another thing, along with the Nixtra site's been very good, but we're gradually getting towards the finish where we're trying to decide on what exactly are the goals of Cult. And I had a big talk with Section 9, where he was talking to me about, well, you know, you got all these guys, they're all excited, what are you doing with them? What are you going to do with these guys? And I was kind of racking my brain. I was sort of sitting there going, well, what am I going to do with Cult? First of all, I'm not doing fuck all with Cult. Cult is an entity unto itself, okay? It's kind of like the phone system. Think of me as Ma Bell, and everybody else talks to each other, and that's how just a method of communication. It works for two reasons. One, I don't have to tell people what to do. Two, people don't have to listen to me. And the third reason, which I didn't mention in the first initial two, is the fact that I don't go to jail, which is nice. We'd like to avoid the whole jail concept. The wife will be very pissed off if I wind up in the fucking slammer because some kid goes fucking wacko and starts shooting people, okay? So we're going to avoid that whole notion, but the bottom line is it's not my job to do anything with Cult. Cult was something I started, and now it's very rapidly gone beyond my control. Now, people are talking to other people. Yes, I still okay who gets in. Yes, I still basically run the website, put the brainwashing issues out. But it's like saying, does Emmanuel Goldstein run 2600? Well, in a way, yes, he does. But without all the other hackers out there, 2600 isn't shit. Speaking of 2600, yes, the H2K conference is coming up. And we're doing work right now on getting the jackets all set up. We're just putting some finishing touches on it. Monday or Tuesday of this week, we should find out exactly what's involved. But wow, Nixtra has done a chest crest for me, which I was going to be using on the front of the jacket. He is not the winner of the logo contest, just so you know. Nixtra is just a fellow who's been helping me out with the design. And what his design is going to be is going to wind up actually being the back patch rather than the chest crest. No doubt Nixter's probably listening is going, really? Yep, it's true. We're going to make that an actual front of, or rather the back of the jacket, where it's got this really fucking psycho cool logo. It says Cult, organizing counterculture and internet subculture with the big Cult K, and there are no victims, with the website address on it. Very, very cool, and the whole thing is going to be embroidered into the back of a flight jacket. Yes. So, what would one of these coats cost, and who can get them? Well, the fact remains is that I managed to get these coats for a wicked, wicked price. If everything goes according to plans, I'm going to be making nothing on these coats. I do not make a fucking dime. What I will be doing, though, is I'll be selling the coats after embroidery, shipping in a whole nine yards for $150 Canadian, or about $250 American, depending on how you want to, you know, $2.50 American. So it'll be $150 Canadian to get your hands on one of these jackets. We're also got a good line on hooded sweatshirts, which will be really cool. None of this shit is silk screened on. You want silk screened stuff, go buy a Marilyn Manson shirt. This is all going to be embroidered, which is going to look fucking killer, man, when we get it all set up. So very, very pleased about that. Also, I was down, I met with these guys, they got this marketing company who I'm going to be working with. They got all sorts of groovy shit we can do. We want to get Cult K lapel pins, Cult watches. We're going to have some wacky, wacky shit going on. Be very, very cool. All this stuff would be sold at cost because, there might be like $3 or $4 made here and there just to cover like the whole expenses of going through and mailing it, all that shit. But bottom line is I'm not, you know, doing the 25% markup thing happening here, okay? It's not about the money. This Cult never made any money. And the only way we're going to start making money is when we get to the numbers of members, which is the next line. Next year, not this year, 2001, we want to go to Burning Man, and we're beginning to make preparations for Burning Man 2001 now, as a matter of fact. One of the things I'm looking at doing is I've been looking through the buy and sell, and I'm looking for a school bus. Why? Because I'm going to camperize the shit out of it, and we're going to make it the Cult Cruiser. And the eventual idea here is anyone who's on the way, we'll just swing by, pick you up, and we'll all head down to Burning Man. Ideally, what you can do to help Cult right now is we've got to spread the virus. We've got to get word of Cult out. We've got to bring in new members. We'd like to get 1,000 members by 2001. That's the idea. And if we can have 1,000 members, assuming that 10%, working with the numbers game, if 10% show up and we have 1,000 members, that's 100 people down at Burning Man. And we can set up our own little camp in the middle of the Burning Man, which would be awesome. Like, how much ass would that kick? Plus, Sim is looking into the whole concept of doing live radio broadcast from Burning Man. How sexy is that? That's very, very sexy. And if we can pull that off, that means we'll probably get featured on 2600. We'll get put in Slashdot. And it'll be huge publicity for us, which means more people know the truth, which means more people can hear the truth, more people read Brainwashing, and the virus spreads like wildfire. And then eventually, you know, I get arrested. But the idea is, in order for me to get arrested, we have to get known. So in order for me to get arrested, that means we have to be doing the right thing. Because y'all know they arrest people who do the right thing. So that's the idea. We have to spread the membership out. If you know people, talk to them. We don't want idiots. Now, bear in mind, that said, that we do want 1,000 members, we don't want 1,000 pinheads, okay? We don't want 1,000 people who are just a bunch of fucking losers who aren't going to do anything, okay? We want guys who are core, who can, you know, figure out that when they fill out the goddamn paragraph, we've got to be able to, fill out the paragraph, you moron! But some people just don't fill out that paragraph. It makes me crazy. I get the questionnaire, no paragraph. What the fuck? Where's your head? But in any case, so you probably hear some sounds going on in the background. That's because we're building bombs! No, the truth of the matter is that Durant Radio Studios has been swamped so heavily with fans that we have to install a high-grade, super-industrial alarm system with rotating guns and gas. And to do this, we have Ted, who is our alarm guy, and he's actually been telling me about some stuff that's been pissing him off in the world. And the more he mentions it to me, the more I realize about what's going on with that. The truth of the matter is, it's about alarm systems. You ever notice you watch those fucking movies like Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible 2, and all this stuff? Like MI2, what'd he have? He had a vent which went down to the critical area of the building, open air vent from the top of the fucking building, perfect air shaft, body size, you know, steel shutters that, you know, takes you down to the base of the shaft where all the good stuff is. You know, it's custom built. You know, what the fuck? And you've got, like, all these different television shows where they sit there and they've got, you know, the alarm box. You pop the alarm box, send a bit of voltage through it, fries instantly, you know, and the alarm system's shot. Or you cut one wire and the alarm system is shot. What the fuck is that about? If it was that easy to break into a fucking building, you know how fucking robbed we'd all be? And not only that, it's disinformation, you know? What if somebody really technically has a good cause and need to break into a building and they think that that's the truth? Well, that's no good. You're not going to get anything from that. So Ted had a good point there. So I'm just a little bit pissed off about that. And now the more you realize it, I mean, how many times have you watched like Enemy of the State? Yeah, I can get 32 frames a minute from satellite downfeed. Absolutely. That's totally accurate. Real time. Right now. You know you love it. No, I don't fucking think so. So it's something that we got to look at. What else has been going on in the news? So if you hear sirens and shit blowing up and all sorts of stuff, that's our super elite alarm system going in. I'm doing brainwashing this week at the Rant Studios because, well, you know, I live here. So actually, I don't actually live here, but that's okay. So 1,000 members for 2001 Burning Man. Back on topic. Subject whiplash. We need to get 1,000 people up. That's the goal. Now, if we get 10,000, that would fucking rule. Ideally, what we'd like to do is have so many goddamn people show up at Burning Man with Rant Radio stuff and cult shit. Man, that would just slay ass. We could, like, take over. Burning Man would get, like, renamed. Be, like, Burning Cult or Burning Rant Cult or Burning Radio Cult People or Burn Christians or something. I don't know, but we'd burn something. So it'd be a lot of fun. We could basically go some... move along good with that. Now, also, I've been lying to everyone saying that, oh yeah, I'm going to put up a Half-Life server so we can all play. Now, that hasn't happened yet. No shit, Sean. We've all been waiting and still not up. Well, it's coming, okay? Will you back the fuck off? Do you have any idea how busy I am? If anyone out there would like to set one up and make it happen, by all means, please go ahead. That's something that we need to do, is I'd like people like, well, what can I do? I don't know. What can you do? If you want to do stuff for Cult other than recruiting, what you can do is you can go and, write up literature Any cult literature is good. If you want to do some cartooning, that's cool too. You want to do up graphics, patches, badges. If you want to make up your own cult shirts, go right ahead. Just because I'm not putting them out doesn't mean that they're not cult. Cult is about people. Cult is about everyone talking, communicating, all that kind of jazz. So by all means, you can do that. It won't be the official cult one, but it'll be a cult one. In a way, it will be the official cult one because it'll be ones that people do themselves. The reason why I'm putting out the ones out is not because, you know, I want to make a boatload of money, because as stated, I'm not making any money on these fucking things. The reason why I'm doing this is because I want to have some cool shit that people can get and be like, wow, you know, it's really neat. You guys don't have to go through all the effort of actually putting them out. Also, if I can get them, I'd like to give them to some certain people. There's guys, you know who you are. The guys have been really busting their backs for cult, for Rant Radio. I want to send them something. I want to send them something so that they all know. What about the logo contest, Sean? Yeah, the logo contest is going to be getting a jacket. You know, maybe other guys won't be getting jackets. Maybe they will. But the fact remains that a lot of people put in a lot of work. And rather than declaring one guy a winner and everybody else the loser, I'd like to have one guy the winner right away and everybody else is also a winner. It's just a matter of time. So that's the idea. That's the idea. Also, a few things that I've heard, people have been emailing me, is that as soon as somebody new joins the roster, everybody ICQs them. Everybody gets in touch with them and says, hey, welcome to Cult, blah, blah, blah. You know, what are you about? What's going on? Where are you living? Yada, yada, yada. That is awesome. I'm so fucking happy about that. That is precisely why we created Cult in the first place, is so that people can communicate. We get the sense of community happening. We can have people talking with other people. And that kind of shit can go on. That'll be very, very cool. Plus, you know, you get, like, just everybody hanging out, being cool, having a good time. And this is entirely the whole purpose of Cult. Now, what about the future of Cult? Where's Cult going to wind up? Well, I've been thinking about that a lot. After we get ourselves to about 1 million members, that's when we can start to have some really good fun. And I've been thinking about this seriously over the last few days. You remember how, you know, when we first started Cult, I was talking about how the, you know, the whole thing about the Nike missile base, how I wanted to get my hands on the Nike missile base and get, you know, oh, 1 million members, everybody sends me $2, we buy a Nike missile base, everybody moves in there. Well, that's really not all that unfeasible, you know? I mean, it's something we could look at. The idea is that once we get our membership base and we get enough fucking cool people who are in and who understand about what Cult is about, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why we couldn't go around and set up cult bars, cult restaurants, cult whatever you want. Maybe not a bar or a restaurant, but you could set up like a, like say, okay, I get my hands on about, $400,000. Okay, we get our hands on 1 million members. Everybody sends me $1, I get $1 million. I go down to San Francisco with $1 million. And incidentally, if ever I do this, I will be posting exact dollar amounts on the website so everybody gets to see where the money's going right down to the last fucking dime, okay? Because that's my concept for it. We get the money, I would go down to San Francisco, and I open a cult club. Now, I was talking with Skip Radio. Skip Radio had a concept where he actually drew up and made a cult membership card, like an actual membership card with your photo on it, ICQ, all that kind of shit, right? Now, that's a very cool idea. I'd like to know what some people think about that, because, I mean, if we were to do that, we could have, like, official cult, you know, call-in numbers and all this kind of stuff so that people know who the numbers are. We have a database for who's a member and who's not. And if we did set up a cult club, we'd set it up, like, the way I'd like to set it up is you'd have, like, this huge kind of a club, right, where it's not so much just like a bar where you serve booze and shit, but you have like coffin hotels like they have in Japan where you've got like actual racks of wall mounts and beds where people can crash. You've got like your living area where you've got all sorts of computers, networks happening. You got some music playing. You got a live stage. You could go in there. You have a sushi bar. You could go in there quite literally and stay in there for like 3 weeks. You know, you got all your facilities there. You got a shower in there. You've got like a little workout facility in there so people could do the showering thing. And you could set it up like that. And then people could go in there. Cult members could go in there. Maybe a private club. That way we could get away with a lot of shit. The minute you have a private club, that would be mighty. Now, just think about that for a little bit. If you live in the California or San Francisco area, and you could like go somewhere like that, just hang out, be cool, talk with other people, and then you leave just because you're a member of Cult, that would kick ass. Well, I don't live in the San Francisco Bay Area. No problem, because once we set up one, it's a matter of time before we set up ones all across the United States and Canada, and it become a private organization. It would just be amazing. I mean, think about it. The possibilities for this are endless. Not only the fact that, yeah, what if you really did get a Nike missile base? If I really did get a Nike missile base and we set it up so people go out there, hang out there, whatever, you know, people show up, we got a bunk cot, everything waiting for you, bring your own food and just fucking loiter for 2 weeks, have the land set up there, set up a data haven. Man, that would kick ass. This is all feasible stuff. You're like, yeah, right, whatever. No, why not? Why not? Why not? There's absolutely no reason why that couldn't happen. That is such a cool concept. More than that is the absence, like the idea of doing some political stuff. Sealand. This is a big thing that's been on the news last little while. The whole Sealand concept. Sealand was, just to bring people up to snuff, back in World War II, apparently they built this gun tower about 6 miles off the coast of England. What this gun tower was, it's for air defense of England to prevent, you know, the Nazis from bombing the shit out of them, blah, 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 blah. So, what you could do, though, is you could take Sealand. Now, Sealand was abandoned after the war because, well, no Nazis equals, no bombing equals, you know, no need for that. So, they left, and this guy declared Sealand its own country. This big gun platform 6 miles out declared it his own country under the abandoned sovereignty laws. Very cool. That means he's his own nation. Now, you couldn't do that today because of various laws, but at the time, he did it, I think, in 1968. So since he did that, he's got his own fucking country, which means that he's not subject to any laws, A, and B, he can issue passports, and C, some American guys are setting up data havens out there so that you can store shit, you know, whatever you want, on a web server out there that there are no laws against. Now, he's already building, like, 50 cals, North Soldiers, all sorts of shit like that to make this thing like an official pirate data haven. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, think about the concept there. You can have whatever you want on a web server in some country that has no laws on it. That's fucking phenomenal. Okay, now we have two things we can do here. One, we can get cult to enough membership so that, again, everybody, you know, pays their cult tax, where, you know, on a voluntary level, where everybody says, hey, who wants to have a part of this? Because everyone who contributes cash to it owns it. That's the idea. I don't own shit. I'm just putting in my buck like everybody else. We don't get enough money, everybody gets their money back. Thanks for coming out. Nobody's spending any money that's not theirs. But the idea is what if we decided we were going to go, we price it all out, get a quote, right? I come up with some concept. Let's go to, say, some island in the Mediterranean. Okay, there's some island in the Mediterranean, miles away from fuck all. It's a little country. We want to buy the island and declare independence from that area. And you could, like, set it up like that. Or, better yet, you just finance a takeover of Sealand. Because since they're their own country, then, you know, they couldn't have any kind of military support from anyone. It'd only be a matter of time to get a... Well, you could... Here's my idea with Sealand, for example. Let's say we go to Sealand. Now, there's a company called Executive Outcome Services. They are a professional mercenary company. Normally, what they do is they work for the South Africans. They're real big with them. They protect diamond mines, things like that. This is the only company in the world with naval offshore assets. Pretty cool. They actually have a Navy. So what you do is you go to Executive Outcome. You say, how much would it be to take over this little installation here? We want the whole installation. We let Sealand set it all up. And they say, well, we'll do it for $4 million. Everybody in cult sends in the cash. We get the money. We hire executive services to go in there and clean out any unwanted people. Then we move in. Right on. We now got our very own cult platform. We keep Executive Outcome on retainer. And we've got our own platform. Now it's a slightly more violent military overthrow coup. But hey, you know, life sucks. Buy a fucking helmet. That's one idea. Another idea would be to go and just set up your own data haven somewhere. I mean, you could do the Nike missile base thing, but then you got the ATF and all those guys, and they're pissing me off. So I'd rather like to try to avoid that if at all possible. But you know what the fuck? If we can, then we'll do that. If we can't do that, oh well. We could also go to the Mediterranean. We could go down to like Thailand, something like that. Set up these kind of installations with places. And places for us to do work, to hang out, to be cool, to do our thing. It'd be very, very, very slick. Hang on for a sec. Ted's playing with a really cool little torch thing. I want to go take a look at it. While I get the alarm guy to tell him, teach me how to build bombs and shit, why don't we give a listen to the whole idea of what Smokehouse sent me? Good fucking fine Smokehouse. Why don't you give a listen to what this Napster MTV thing was? It actually listens pretty decent. Let's check it out.
As you know, Cult needs new members, so we've provided an actual, real, live, circumstantial experience where you can see how recruiting members can be fun and profitable.
Hey, man, I'm joining a religious cult.
Now, that's ridiculous.
Well, I'm joining it, so you gotta sign up, too.
What are you talking about?
Hey, don't fuck me on this, man. Just sign up.
No, I'm not gonna join a cult.
What do you gotta do that's so fucking important? You can't join their cult with me.
Well, I was gonna go sunbathing.
Oh, boy. No, I don't think you should do that, because the leader guy of the cult, he was rambling on during one of his speeches about the sun being bad. You show up all sunburned, that guy's gonna be pissed at you and me.
Well, I'm not in the cult, so I don't have to worry about pissing the leader guy off.
Look, I'm starting to believe in some of the stuff the cult guy's been saying. Some of it makes a lot of sense.
Well, good, but I don't want to join the cult. I can still hang out. I just won't be in it with you.
The point is, I'm not going to have time to hang out with you because I'm going to be fucking busy with this fucking cult.
We'll visit on weekends. We'll work it out.
No, the weekends are like the busiest time. That's when we go to flea markets and fucking malls and talk people into joining, man.
Can I just join for a little while? I told my dad I'd visit him in Florida in 3 weeks.
You'll ask them, but we gotta join now.
Well, what's the hurry?
There's a girl I wanna meet there! What the fuck's your problem?
Well, I mean, I don't really have to believe in this stuff, do I?
No. Just fucking tell everybody you believe in this shit. When they say the sun sucks, go, yeah, fuck the sun. I fucking hate it too. Long live fucking cult.
I don't know, man. This is crazy.
Look, they're gonna give you clothes, they're gonna give you a free haircut, you're gonna get food.
It's not gonna be one of those weird haircuts, is it?
It's gonna be a haircut, alright? You said you need a haircut, they're gonna fucking cut your hair. You're going in saving $12, just fucking do it!
You think the hot girl has a friend for me?
Probably, I don't, and if she doesn't, she'll go out and recruit one for you.
Well, alright. But hey, if I don't like it, I'm gonna escape, man.
Okay, that's up to you.
If you want to get involved, email join@thecult.org, and we'll set you up, too.
Just fucking do it!
Mere months since its invention, the music-swapping search engine called Napster has become the greatest music biz controversy since gangsta rap, pitting fans...
I'm pissed off at Metallica.
...against rockers.
I don't want you to be a Metallica fan.
Why is Metallica going to court? Why is Chuck D off to Congress? Will Napster be the future of the music business, or its death knell?
They are the bong of piracy.
Will it change the way you listen to songs, or ruin musicians' livelihoods?
I don't know anybody that's going to go to work and not expect a paycheck from it.
Will record companies destroy it, or learn to live with it? The answers, and an exclusive visit with the unlikely young men who created the controversy. Coming up on this special report.
Napster is bullshit.
You guys filed a lawsuit against Napster?
Yes, we did.
For what reason?
Basically, we feel in a nutshell that they were encouraging people to steal our music through the internet.
Everybody that I know was against it.
If you worked at McDonald's and we went into your store and took all your meat and you had to pay for that, you're going to be kind of upset.
Napster is stealing from us, straight up, and I'm going to fight them to the death.
Meet the enemy. 19-year-old Sean Fanning and 20-year-old Sean Parker.
I see you wear a baseball cap.
Yeah,
you
no,
take it off.
No, I don't. It's permanently attached.
I don't think I've ever seen you take it off.
No.
What's up with the cap?
A Led Zeppelin lover and a Virginia-bred Dave Matthews freak, business partners and roommates. Sean and Sean were friends online for years before they ever met face-to-face.
We met the first time as a result of Napster. Sean flew down from Boston to Virginia to meet with some investors that I'd set up a meeting with.
It was only last summer, with a little help from Parker, that Fanning put the finishing touches on a file-sharing computer program called Napster. The immensely popular but highly controversial innovation has practically overnight revolutionized MP3 technology and scared the living daylights out of the recording industry.
Before Napster, it was really hard for people to swap music, and in the aftermath of Napster, it's become incredibly easy.
It's basically one huge record store where you can shoplift all you want.
Napster is an evil, 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 evil place to go.
But try telling that to the 9 million people who've been incessantly swapping free music during Napster's very brief 9 months of existence.
The fastest growing community of all time, surpassing Hotmail.
Which is still a bit inconceivable to the Shans, who last August co-founded Napster Inc. and moved the company west to Silicon Valley.
So we're standing on the rooftop of Napster. Where are we?
We're in San Mateo, California, the middle of nowhere. San Mateo is kind of a retirement community.
Yeah, it's not. Nothing happens here.
Metallica attracted a small army of reporters and cameras today.
During 13 boxes of legal paperwork and charging Napster with copyright violation.
4 months after the RIAA filed a multi-billion dollar lawsuit against Napster, calling the .com a haven for piracy. Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich showed up at the Napster headquarters with 60,000 documents that he said proved just that.
They just held their hands up and say, we're just providing a service here. But if you guys can come up with real people making real copyright violations of your song, we will be happy to remove those people from our service. It was sort of like a dare.
A dare that Metallica happily accepted. After filing its own $20 million copyright infringement suit, the band hired an internet watchdog, which in just 2 days turned up more than 330,000 offenders, making over 1 million illegal Metallica trades.
You know, we have always been very inward, very, you know, controlling of every single thing that we do. So when any of our fans out there get access to something that has Metallica's music or Metallica's name on, they know it came directly from us.
One of the things that a copyright owner has the exclusive right to do is control the copying and distribution of a sound recording.
The issue is that basically Napster took the privilege of basically making Metallica's music available out there without consulting Metallica.
Were you guys Metallica fans?
He was a huge Metallica fan.
I still am, actually. I mean, I was... How do you feel that this huge band, this band that you grew up idolizing, and they're suing you?
I don't know. I mean, at first I was, you know, I sort of didn't, there was some disbelief. I personally found out about the lawsuit secondhand through a news publication. So it was really strange for us because, you know, they filed a lawsuit against us and, you know, didn't even come to speak with us initially.
I'm a little disappointed they didn't call us up 3 months ago when this whole thing started. I mean, you know, we're pretty easy to find. But, you know, what to me Napster keep trying to do is trying to sort of, you know, drag it out and make it about Metallica and their fans, or make it, you know, why didn't Lars call us personally? I mean, come on. You know, let's stop bullshitting each other here.
I think it's about the most unhip thing that I've ever seen a big rock star do. And it's funny that he's an old, aging antique, and he's taking this antique position.
The thing with Metallica is, the first time I ever heard of Metallica was on a taped, it was on a blank tape. It was taped for me, it was Kill 'Em All, their first record.
Right.
And I was a diehard fan ever since.
The reason Metallica is popular is through bootlegs. I mean, that word of mouth and whatnot, that's how they got famous.
We have always advocated taping our shows. We have always been totally pro-bootlegs, pro-piracy, all that type of stuff.
And Dave Matthews and Grateful Dead and Fish, they all encourage their fans to tape their live concerts. The idea of Napster especially appealed to me because it makes it that much easier and that much more efficient to trade live concert recordings.
But this is about Metallica master recordings, the versions as they appear on our studio albums, and basically where people can download first-generation perfect digital copies of our songs from our albums and basically make their own CDs. It's basically, in its simplest form, theft.
Metallica needs some money, huh? It's pathetic.
My name is, you know, like, Lars Ulrich from Metallica. I mean, the other day was, like, obvious to me how much money we have because our bassist, you know, like, Jason Newsted bought his very first gold-plated Ferrari.
As a student, seeing Metallica, which obviously has millions and millions of dollars, them as the band who chose to see them, was kind of frustrating because it's like, you don't really need the money from an extra couple CDs, and I'm using change to buy coffee. So it would be really nice if you could just let me use it.
This is not about those thousands of dollars for us.
It's a moral issue.
This is as close as anything gets in the music business.
And Metallica is not alone in that opinion, with Dr. Dre, too, entering the legal fray.
I mean, I'm not going to go in the studio and work for free. I don't know anybody that's going to go to work and not expect a paycheck from it.
At the end of the day, I think that artists who put their blood, sweat, and tears into something deserve to be compensated.
This is really important that people understand this, that we're not going after individual people. We're not going after our fans.
No, I'm pissed off at Metallica, seriously. I'm not going to buy the album.
You know what? Boycott Metallica. Be my guest. No skin off my back. If you don't respect the fact that we have the right to do this and want to do this, I don't want you to be a Metallica fan. I don't want you to listen to a Metallica song. I want you just to boycott the fuck out of Metallica and just wallow in your own little misery. Be my guest. But in order for us to do what we have to do with Napster and against Napster, at some point the fans and the people who are part of this become more than innocent bystanders.
And on that point, Napster would agree.
We don't have any responsibility to police the network, and it's the user's responsibility to make sure that they're not breaking the law, infringing on other people's copyrights.
Unlike MP3.com, which just last month was found guilty of copyright violations, Napster does not house nor distribute any MP3s. They say they're merely providing file sharing software, and if people use it for illegal purposes, well, They have no control over that.
Napster says, we're just a neutral middleman. We're not breaking the law. If you want to sue anybody, it's the people who are using Napster, not us.
Copying or distributing authorized MP3 files may violate U.S. and foreign law.
You know, there's very few uses for a bong other than smoking dope. But what a head shop would tell you is, oh, we just sell that. I can't believe they're actually using that for illegal drugs. That's shocking. And in some ways, that's what Napster is doing. They are the bong of piracy.
I don't think that the law really contemplated what Napster is doing, and there's no case law on it, so we're making it up as we go along.
Which has been bad news for Napster, at least in the early stages of what is destined to be a prolonged legal battle. On May 8th, a San Francisco judge ruled that Napster's "we're just a middleman" claim is off base and off key, which is music to the ears of a less than conciliatory Metallica.
So we believe that Metallica's future on the internet should be on Metallica's terms.
I don't think I'd sue him. I'd probably beat him up.
But not everyone is ready to throw down.
Rage Against the Machine. Download the music.
How many MP3s do you have on your computer?
6,000 or 7,000.
At graduation time last year, the music swapping software called Napster didn't exist. By the end of fall semester, it was a phenomenon.
Best thing about Napster is you can get any song you want.
There's a big payoff for it when you can get a bunch of people in your room to have them say, you know, I haven't heard this song in forever. And you can say, oh, just a second, double click, and it's there.
With free access to high-speed internet connections at their disposal, college students forced nearly 200 campuses to ban the software. After rabid MP3 swapping bogged down, and in some cases, crashed university computer systems.
What we had basically was a nuts and bolts capacity issue.
But for Metallica, who sued Napster last month for copyright infringement, the case is more than nuts and bolts. And it's more than philosophical. It's personal. Band decided to take action after I Disappear from the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack was leaked prematurely.
What happened was that there were 6 work in progress versions that showed up on Napster that people all over the world were downloading, and radio stations all across North America were playing. We hadn't even finished the song yet.
As was the case for Eminem. Won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Last month, Interscope Records was forced to rush release The Real Slim Shady after an LA radio station, allegedly using Napster, downloaded this song and broadcast it.
I don't think I'd sue him. I'd probably beat him up.
But not everyone is ready to throw down. Despite the threats of both sales and control over distribution, some artists are actually embracing the technology.
I support it. Thumbs up. Thumbs up to Napster.
Rage Against the Machine. Download the music.
What has happened every single time a new technology has come out? Everybody has been totally frightened.
And so you saw with the arrival of VCRs, the film industry fought that.
Cassette tapes, they were afraid that people were going to... That would increase music piracy.
I remember when the Dead Kennedys released In God We Trust. It was an EP. When the tape version, they had half of the tape blank. And on the blank side, it said, home taping is killing the recording industry, so please use this side to tape whatever you want.
But Napster, according to Lars, is a far cry from making a tape for a few friends.
Basically, the minute you sign on to Napster, you become part of a worldwide network that has millions and millions and millions of people there trading basically every single recording that more or less exists.
What's your favorite artist?
Let's say Korn.
And it looks like we have a lot of Korn today. So let's say when we want to download Adidas, we'll just click on it and download it. So here's the file we downloaded.
Basically everything we need or want is on here, so we don't really buy CDs that much anymore.
Yeah, I've pretty much given up on store-bought CDs. If anything, I just burn my own.
And that sends more than a shiver down the recording industry's spine.
I would hate to think that the internet would take away the experience of going down to the record store, buying the new record, opening it, you know, reading the lyrics and having it in your hand. That's part of, like, the whole experience.
Point well taken. Just ask NSYNC. Less than a month before Metallica sued Napster, NSYNC shattered all existing sales records. In less than a week, more than 2 million eager fans coughed up the cash for the band's hotly anticipated No Strings Attached album. It's worth noting that Johnny Wright, the band's manager, credited internet leaks with fueling the excitement.
I mean, if I download a song and I like it, I usually go and buy the CD.
It hasn't deterred me at all from buying CDs. The CD experience is still the same.
In fact, in the first critical year since MP3 technology became available, overall record sales were up 7%. But consider this. Last year, for the first time since the inception of the internet, the most popular search term was not sex. It's ouster, MP3. Meanwhile, Napster is reporting a 5-25% increase in its user base every day. Still, Limp Bizkit remains undaunted.
It's not going away. You might as well learn to deal with it and make it work for you.
And so, Limp will be doing exactly that this summer as they hit the road for a free tour sponsored by none other than the music industry's public enemy number one, Napster.
It's going to be no strings attached, a free tour brought to you by Napster.com, and it's really free.
This whole thing about my free tour and all that type of stuff, that's a little bit of pulling wool over the fans' eyes. It's sort of like trying to elevate yourself to like, dude, we're doing a free tour, you know, Napster's paying for it. I mean, if you want to really do a free tour, then go out and pay for it yourself, because that's what we do.
As for what Napster creator Sean Fanning did, could the 19-year-old Cape Cod native possibly have imagined that he would change the world with his self-described cool idea?
Did you think at that time you were going, I'm going to develop something to piss off the entire record industry?
No, I mean, it was just like a small project.
I was actually at Northeastern University in Boston. My roommate was heavily into MP3s, and I was complaining about how unreliable the existing search engines and ways of finding MP3s were.
So the college freshman went to work. He stopped partying, bought HTML for dummies, holed up in his dorm room, and hung out in tech nerd chat rooms. Several months later, he emerged with a quick and easy MP3 search engine, christening it with an old junior high nickname.
I was playing basketball, and a kid was talking trash I was playing against, and he said I had nappy hair.
Did you have like a big afro?
No, I mean, I didn't. He was just, you know, talking trash.
Take off the hat. Let me see this. So where do you get it? See, you said it was nappy hair. Go get it.
When it grows out, it gets kind of curly. So
with the close-cut baseball cap and Mr. Parker in tow, Fanning, or Napster if you like, dropped out of college last summer and caught the first flight to California.
You play the guitar?
A little bit.
Can you play for us? Anything?
No, I suck.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Not a steady one, though.
Probably couldn't find any time for that. It's like, baby, I'm working on software right now.
And both Sean's are still working on software for the company they founded, handing over CEO duties as they concentrate on coding. Like so many dot-coms, Napster is not yet making any money, instead relying solely on investor capital. So for now, the boys are comfortable.
Concordia.
It's a 94 RX-7.
And as for the future?
Basically, at any given time, someone could walk into these doors with a check, a big fat check saying, hey, here's $100 million. I want to buy a Napster from you.
If we felt we had a lot of faith in the company that was making the offer and we thought that they could take it over and continue to build it, then I think we would consider it.
From here going forward, anybody who wants to pirate music over the internet is going to be able to do that. The music is ultimately going to be free.
The battle over online piracy is sure to intensify in the coming months as new programs hit the virtual marketplace. Programs like Freenet, which will allow you to anonymously swap not only music, but just about everything else from literature to porn. For now, though, Napster remains on the front line.
If Napster ultimately loses the legal battle, is there a way to disengage it? Is there a way you guys can just go on your little computers and hit a button and everything will be whoosh, done?
Well, because of the way Napster works currently, there is a central index of file names and things like that. So we could shut that down and Napster itself would be dead.
But the thing is you can go after them and stop them, but you can't, how are you going to, it's like put out one fire over here. There's 1,000 fires.
The cat is out of the bag as far as digital music distribution over the internet. Whether Napster gets shut down or not, there are new products like Nutella.
There's no company that runs Nutella. There's no company to sue. And there's no way to shut it down.
And because Nutella and other music sharing programs operate without a central server, artists will be left with little choice but to go after users themselves. You, the consumer.
There's no way I think they can go around suing everyone.
You're suing the people that you want to buy your records, so it makes no sense.
And yet, only last fall, federal authorities did prosecute a 22-year-old student for illegally swapping MP3s. Jeffrey Levy was sentenced to 2 years probation. But with culprits numbering in the tens of millions, many of them high school and college kids, enforcement seems totally unfeasible and unlikely.
From here going forward, anybody who wants to pirate music over the internet is going to be able to do that.
And if that's the case, why would any of us pay for music ever again?
The record company as a whole has to change the way they make money.
In the current model, people make money basically by selling CDs. In a future model, it might be that you make no money selling music, and you make money in other places, like around concerts or around selling T-shirts.
The music is ultimately going to be free. When you watch a Knicks game or a Lakers game, you don't pay to watch that game, but you have to watch some commercials, and that's exactly what's going to happen. You won't have to pay to get your favorite new album. You'll just have to go on somebody's website and have to deal with their banner advertising.
I don't know who you were expecting. Probably some bitch who doesn't have budge.
There's some interesting examples right now of what the future might look like. You can look at an artist like Annie DeFranco or The Grateful Dead. They encouraged their fans to bootleg their music, and they had this incredibly loyal fan base that would swap music and would show up at the concerts, and the Grateful Dead, year in, year out, made more money on concerts than anybody else.
CDs themselves would probably become, you know, what tapes are to CDs today, in that, you know, you primarily receive most of your music digitally because you can either, you know, beam it down to a cell phone, like, you know, portable device or something like that.
Indeed, with more and more portable devices offering internet connections, it won't be long before music is only a click away. Not just on your computer, but on your MP3 Walkman, your cell phone, your Palm Pilot, and whatever other gadgets we haven't yet imagined.
The reality is the innovations are coming so quickly that 5 years from now, we might not even think of programs like Napster or sites like MP3.com. The innovations are really the core thing to focus on.
Innovations like the music kiosk, an ATM-like machine that for a fee will almost instantly spit out not cash, but customized CDs. Or maybe you already own all the songs you need for the perfect party mix. Forget the kiosk. Upload your own CDs, recall your MP3s, and rock the house with a digitally reorganized compilation courtesy of Real Jukebox. Meanwhile, record companies themselves are taking the digital offensive, developing technology to combat piracy by encoding the music they still plan to sell online.
I think the transition to digital music ultimately was inevitable.
On the whole, I think you're going to see an explosion of kind of new opportunities and new music, and that for fans and for dedicated musicians, it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Perhaps, but for now, it's on, and it's ugly. A battle unwittingly started by two unassuming young men who ignited a revolution in their spare time. Today, for the most part, the guys seem relatively unfazed by the storm that's brewing around them. And even one of their fiercest foes thinks something good can still come out of it all.
If nothing else comes out of this, it's about a dialogue. Kids, fans, and Metallica's family, and record company people, and MTV, and everybody just at some point in the next foreseeable future coming to a way where all this can coexist together in a friendly way.
You to defy me!
All right, let's tell these people a little something about Cult.
You people have been chosen to reveal our existence to the world. You will witness what happens here today, and you will tell of it later. All eyes to the front.
Now's a good time to fucking...
Shut your fucking mouth!
Well, I'm glad I've got your attention. We gathered you here today because you people need to bear witness to the truth. The truth that is the Cult. We have tried before to mention to you the fact that we were coming as an insurgence of power. You need to understand that now is the time. You were not ready before, but you better be ready now.
Now you will receive us.
We do not ask for your poor or your hungry.
We do not want your tired and sick.
It is your corrupt way, Clem.
It is your evil that will be sought by us.
With every breath, we shall hunt them down.
Each day, we will spill their blood till it rains down from the skies.
Do not kill. Do not rape. Do not steal. These are principles which every man of every faith can embrace.
These are not polite suggestions. These are codes of behavior. And those of you that ignore them will pay the dearest cost.
There are varying degrees of evil. We urge you lesser forms of filth not to push the bounds and cross over into true corruption, into our domain.
But if you do, one day you will look behind you and you will see we three. And on that day, you will reap it.
And we will send you to whatever god you wish.
and shepherds we shall be for thee, my Lord, for thee. Power hath to send it forth from thy hand.
I'm cool off.
We swiftly carry out thy command. So we shall flow ever forth to thee, and teeming with souls shall it ever be.
In nomine patri,
et fili,
Spiritus Sancti.
There are no victims in cults.
That's about it for this issue of Brainwashing. Yes, thanks again to Smokehouse for cranking out. We're going to send this thing off with a killer promo the guy sent in. The guy's just a machine. He's an audio-visual god. You know we love him. But the fact remains that if you have anything that you think would be very cool for a Brainwashing issue, which we will put in there, I'll give you full credit for it. Absolutely. I am not cult. You, in fact, are cult. And guys like Capone X, guys like F.T. Rooster, all those fellas, the Flesh Tripper Rooster's actual name is not F.T. Rooster. I should probably clarify that. But everybody is just pitching in here. And man, this thing is starting to snowball like nobody's business. This is fucking great. And I cannot wait for us to just really explode, because it's just, it hasn't even started yet. It hasn't even started to roll down the hill yet. And until next time, until the next Brainwashing issue, hey, keep your head down and keep your mind free. And I will talk to you later. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit.
You think that's going to happen? You think that's the way it's going to work?
I don't think so, bitch.
These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the underground.
You can fucking well bet I'm doing airborne out the window. You can suck my ass.
Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire
the cult. We'll run around blowing shit up. It'll be great. Cult is what they've always been afraid of. Motherfucker, we'll make it so your toasters don't work. We will move like the wind through the shadows of your fucking back doors. We will occupy, dominate, and destroy if need be. We are sick to death of being shit-kicked by multinational corporations. I'm not going to be a wage slave, okay? That is why Cult exists today.
We connect your calls. We drive your ambulances. We guard you while you sleep. Do not fuck with us.
My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man.